Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Yeah, are you good on your end with me? Audio sound okay?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. Hit that subscribe button, actually, so you can keep up with all the episodes that we put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. At least three interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to also give the series a rating, leave a review. That always helps out so much. And we've had some great guests on lately. That includes Katie Crutchfield of Waxahachie, Kevin Bacon with the Bacon Brothers, Stone Gossard and Mike McCready of Pearl Jam, Dave Wakeling of the English Beat, Beth Ditto from Gossip, actor Skeet Ulrich, Maggie Lindemann was here, Guy Garvey from Elbow. We also talked with Gary Clark Jr., actor Rudy Mancuso, Hamish Linklater, who stars as Abraham Lincoln in Manhunts on Apple TV+, Nathan Stewart Jarrett and George McKay from the movie Femme, comedian Martin Amini, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Brent Smith of Shinedown. We're going to be talking about their continued success of their record Planet Zero and its single, A Symptom of Being Human, as well as what to expect from their next record. Now, Brent's going to discuss the band's authenticity, mental health advocacy, and fun that they have with their music videos, as well as their aversion to genre, love of Olivia Rodrigo's rock aesthetics, and the mountain they climbed to make a big concept record in Planet Zero. It's with that in mind that Brent's also going to preview the work they're currently doing on that next LP, which he says will be less concept-driven and more guest-heavy. All that and more. We're talking Planet Zero and A Symptom of Being Human. It's Kyle Meredith with Brent Smith of Shinedown.
What's going on? I feel that I'm in the presence of a very interesting individual. You've done some really quite eclectic interviews with some wild artists over the years, so I'm honored to be here today.
I'm really happy to have you here. I'm a little sad that it's actually taken us this long, because I've been a fan of your band and your work for so long, but I do try to keep it eclectic. That is absolutely true. That's so you just get to be part of the fabric of that, so I appreciate that.
I'm into it, man. I'm not into borders. I think that the more open-minded we can be about art and being creative and having an open dialogue and an open floor is the way to keep creating.
Well, you've never been shy about that either. I mean, the work that you all do, especially from where you began in Shinedown and in Planet Zero, that's now a couple years old, and here we are still talking about it. I mean, for one, by the way, this is one of the best records of the decade, easily one of the best rock records of the decade. And it says something that's 2022 was actually the release date. And here we are 2 years later talking about it, right?
Yeah. July 1st, actually, 2022.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. I was thinking, like, there's a few things at play that it's exciting to see because, you know, there would be albums, especially in the 80s and 90s, you would have five, maybe even six songs, singles deep. You know, when you're talking about the biggest ones of all time, whether it be Born in the USA or Thriller or you know, the U2 albums, they would always do that.
Def Leppard, you know, Hysteria, I think, had seven singles.
And like, I feel like we're in one of those moments where, you know, it's rare, but something's happened here. Something's happened with this record that just keeps going and going and going. What does it look like from your side?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is that I think that we always look at it. We have seven records. We've released 31 singles as a band. And that's from domestically and globally. I think the biggest thing is this. You, at least for us, we never ever walk into a studio or a writing session or when we begin a project with the ideology of writing songs because we want to be famous. We're writing these songs because we have something to say. Albums are a snapshot in a lot of ways of an artist at that time in their life. But that's kind of the beauty of everything too. The cool thing about songs is that they can evolve over time. And what they mean to you, like when you're a teenager, doesn't necessarily mean that they hold the same concept as when you're an adult. Like that's the beauty of also exploring different sounds and different genres and different artists. It's constantly evolving. But again, too, for us, we've always been honest about who we are as a band. And listen, we're a band that's also been writing about mental health for the better part of two decades before it was something that was kind of in the forefront of people's minds, no pun intended, but also the audience. Like in this band, we literally have one boss. It just happens to be everybody in the audience because they ultimately decide who stays and who goes. And the audience isn't foolish. They can spot a fake from 1,000 yards away, you know? And I think that authenticity, especially in 2024, that is what people are gravitating towards more, is they want realism in the music. And so for us, we just try to be very open-minded. We try to be very aware, but we also try to be very honest in how we write these records, how we produce these records, how we create them, and what we're talking about. Again, too, our audience, whether they've been from, you know, whether they've been there from the beginning or they're just kind of finding out who we are. Listen, in Shinedown, you know, listen, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, whether you're younger, whether you're older, the color of your skin, that's irrelevant. That's what makes you an individual, your religion. That's what makes you who you are. And we want to celebrate that individuality in everyone. But our audience has always allowed us to be ourselves because we want them to do the same. So I think more than anything, the music and the songs, they have to be honest. It starts with that.
And you can tell that. You really can tell that in the songs. And I think you've always been able to. You brought that up, and that's, you know, you all singing about mental health for this long. I mean, that's obviously been a part of your story. Nothing really new there. But have you, like, when you look at it all, and especially the way the conversation has changed, has it changed the way that you write about it as well?
It makes me more aware of what I'm speaking on. The other thing is this, you know, it's not always serious all the time with us. We have a lot of songs who we try to kind of convey that also with, we actually are a band that love making music videos. Like we still kind of really get a kick out of it. And we try to like push the envelope. I mean, I remember when we did the Enemies video and brought the concept to Atlantic Records that we were going to have a band meeting and we were going to beat the hell out of each other. And that was going to be the video. And they were like, okay. But, you know, it's exploring. Like you hear some of these songs sometimes and yeah, there may be a heavy subject matter to it. But when you see the visual for it, you know, it's funny. You know what I mean? Or it's like so wild. And we try to be creative when it comes to that. But I mean, when you're in there and you're writing an album, and we're still a band that very, very much believes in the album. It's one of the reasons why we go for these long durations when we release these records. A lot of times the touring cycle for the album is, you know, 18 months to 2 years. The other thing too is that what's interesting now also with the generation that's the younger generation, like Generation Z, I have a 16-year-old son, That's his generation. I think the new generation now is you're going back to the beginning of the alphabet.
So yeah, the alpha, right. Alpha. Yeah.
But the cool thing is that boomers, millennials, Generation X, which is what I am. The cool thing also is that there's not, I noticed that people don't really care about a born on date anymore with songs. They only care if the back, you know, the hair on the back of their neck stands up, you know, and that's kind of really cool to watch too, where there's a broadening of that. So you don't want that always to be your navigation point or your North Star, like what's the trendy thing to talk about now or what's everybody doing now. You do have to kind of stay fixated on being, again, authentic and real. But also, too, something that I think that has helped us out is we actually like the music that we record and the songs that we create. Because sometimes people will go, are you the type of person that when you're out and about, if you're in a store or something, or you're, you know, driving around, you're listening to the radio or a playlist or something, and your song comes on, do you like turn the, you know, the dial down or like switch, you know, the station.
Like the ones that never listen to their own music, right?
Yeah. Or when you're in the store, you're like, oh, you know, I can't listen to this. We're the opposite of that. We're like, nah, man, we turn it up. You know what I mean? Because we're proud of it. I mean, we wouldn't have put it on the record and given it to the world if we weren't stoked about it. So I think that that's another thing too. As an artist, you should actually like the music that you create.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astapro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astapro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Brent Smith of Shinedown.
I love the way you were talking about music videos there too, because we're close to the same age. I'm one of those border babies. You know, I kind of lean Gen X as far as my references.
Yeah.
I also have a 16-year-old son.
Oh, cool.
And hearing you talk about music videos, like he didn't grow up with them in the same, he didn't have the same relationship. He has to seek them out where it was just given to us. So whereas I hear certain songs, I immediately, that's just, you don't think about it. You see the video and even in the back of your mind, you know, it's
right.
Part of that. But with REM in mind, Losing My Religion, it wasn't on. I did something where I moved up and down, and he looked at me and goes, you just did the move from the Losing My Religion video. And I was like, what? Like, you had to seek that out. And that wasn't me pushing it on you, you know? Like your love of music, do you find that that has filtered over? Does your son have the same relationship?
You know what? That is probably one of the most unique things about the relationship that I have with my son. Here's the thing. My son has had a basketball in his hand since he was 6 years old. So he's very much in that world because he actually wants to be a professional player. And he lives in a gymnasium. And so why I bring that up is that he does like music. And he is definitely, for his age, you know, he has a certain kind of style of music that he likes. It's pretty broad. But when it comes to me and him, I will never forget this. The day that he was born and I was in the room, the delivery room, and he came out, I remember I like was trying to like grab him, and the nurses and everyone were like, whoa, we got to put him down and do this and that and the other. Like, you can be right next to him, but hang on, we got to. And it was such a life-changing moment for me when he entered the earth. That I remember leaning into him and whispering to him, I will never make it about me and I will never miss your birthday. And that's kind of our relationship. Like, he knows who I am, but I've never made it about me from the day he was born. So a lot of times when I'm around him, because I'm on the road 280 days out of the year, I live in hotels and I'm the one in the band that's constantly not only the creative side of things, but I'm doing a lot of the negotiations. I'm doing a lot of the business as well. So he's never known any different. But like, if I have 48 hours, I'll come in, you know, to Florida to be with him. That's where I'm actually at right now. And he's on spring break at the moment. But when it comes to the music and our connection with one another, people will ask me, they're like, does he want to follow in his dad's footsteps? And I very lovingly say, he could care less. Like, and that's just kind of something where, you know, maybe later on as he gets older, he'll connect with. Although the other day I was shocked. He actually told me, hey, Dad, that song, Cut the Cord. I'm like, do you know the title of one of our songs? And he goes, yeah. He was like, that's pretty Riz. And I was like, it's pretty what? It's Riz? Like, that's the whole lingo or whatever. But no, he's not necessarily so engaged in music from my standpoint, because I've never made it about me. Mm-hmm. I only focus on him. But I think that, you know, under the radar, he's proud of, you know, who his dad is.
Yeah, they pick up on that even when they don't let on. Like, I've learned that too. You know, it's like, I don't think he pays. I never thought mine paid attention to the interviews until I overheard him talking to his friends. And being very specific, it's like, oh, you are paying attention, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, one of his main trainers that he has, it's the same thing. Like, when we were trying to make this decision, not for my son had to ultimately make the decision. But at 16 years of age, in the world of athletic, one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to quit sports together at 16, they're just going to stop doing it, or they're going to maybe stay on, you know, and use it as a social tool, if you think about it from that aspect, hang out with their friends or what have you, or they're actually going to like look at it as a potential, could I make a career being a professional athlete? And that's kind of the direction that he wants to go. So it's unique. Like, I think the adult gene, those hormones start to kick in because they're changing. At 16 years of age, there's a lot going on with a young man, if you know, and I'm sure there are too with, you know, 16-year-old, you know, young ladies. This is a pivotal moment, you know, in the upbringing of a child becoming an adult.
Right. Well, I'm lucky that mine has started to find some of the music, and he's doing his first mosh pits and everything like that. But
hell yeah.
I definitely think he's gonna have fun at a Shinedown show. But I want to bring it back to Shinedown too, because you know, here you do have this moment, a symptom of being human. It's finding it is, you know, just keeps going and going and going, and you're back on the pop charts again. That's not a thing that we see usually these days. You've put out you know, several different mixes of it. As an artist, when you have those, because there's acoustic mix, I think there's a pop mix, like, do you find that you have a preference? Like, do you still go back to the original, or do you like the other versions more?
What's interesting in the streaming world and also in the radio world, because, you know, at the end of the day, the band was built by the radio. When I think all the way back to 2003, when the first album came out, it's wild to think that, you know, our debut album, it celebrated 20 years last year. And I'm often the one saying I'm very proud of the first 20 years, you know, that got us to where we are. But now it's about what is the next 20 years and beyond? What are we doing now? So, you know, it's interesting to see how when you're doing something that we're honestly being given the opportunity to do, which is grow the audience through having a song like A Symptom of Being Human, because it's been about 15 years since we had a moment like this with a song. The last time this happened was on the Sound of Madness album cycle with two songs, actually, If You Only Knew, but really the juggernaut that became a song called Second Chance. And, you know, I think about, like, from the radio aspect of things, you know, I remember when Casey Kasem in the radio world, who's probably considered one of the most famous American DJs of all time, when he signed off the air after 40 years of being in broadcasting, the number one song in the country was Second Chance.
Wow. I didn't know that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Just wild kind of trivia there and what have you. But again, for us, it's never been about one specific genre or format in regards to music, because we're inspired and we have quite an eclectic mindset and brain trust when it comes to the music that we are influenced by. So it's not about rock music or rap music or pop music or alternative music or country music or metal music. It should be about all music. And an artist should be able to, I think at least, be able to elevate themselves and change at times and go down different paths and maneuver different directions. Sometimes in the society that we're in, you get told to just kind of stay in your lane. But I've never really looked at it like that. It's the same thing with rock and roll. A lot of people consider Shinedown to be a rock band, which I'm totally fine with. But the fact of the matter is, rock and roll is not necessarily a genre of music. Like, rock and roll is a way of life. You know, and in that community, anyone from anywhere at any time is welcomed all the time. I remember when NWA got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Ice Cube got on the mic, Kendrick Lamar inducted him. But the first thing that Cube said was, rock and roll is the spirit. And we want to say thank you to everyone here for allowing us to come in to this organization that we are, you know, stoked to be a part of. And so that's an interesting thing to see where music is going forward, and people are being a lot more open-minded to a quote-unquote rock band being able to be played on hot AC radio, on alternative radio, on and also active rock radio, but also pop radio. And again, to all of radio, every single company has really, truly embraced this song in all these formats, whether it's Odyssey or Cumulus or iHeart Radio or, you know, Town Square Media. Same thing with the streaming services. Like Spotify, we were like non-existent on certain playlists in the last like 4.5 months. And they have just become a juggernaut in, you know, we're now on like 19 different pop playlists on top of alternative playlists and rock playlists. But also Amazon Music has come to the forefront here as well in the streaming divide. Not necessarily divide, but they're all kind of in competition and what have you. But none of them are kind of acting like they're in competition when it comes to A Symptom of Being Human and this band. Because I think I would like to think that Shinedown is showing the industry that you can be a game changer. You can have this approach with rock musicians, not necessarily just being looked at as like rock musician. It's about allowing these artists to broaden their reach. And look, I would put it back on, you know, the rock formats as well. You know, I remember when earlier this year, Olivia Rodrigo, you know, she got nominated for a Grammy in the rock category. I'm waiting on the first active rock panel program director to add Olivia Rodrigo, because it works both ways. You know what I mean? I think that that is something that you're going to see in the future, where a lot of these formats start to embrace each other because it grows your audience.
And I completely agree with that. I was one of the champions when that landed in the rock category. I said, that's a great rock record. She's one of the biggest rock stars in the world right now, as far as I'm concerned.
By the way, if you go and you listen to the last two albums, there's a ton of heavy guitar.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And there's like a Jack White style solo in one of the songs.
It's
very, very much.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Brent Smith of Shinedown.
For what you're talking about and what you presented, you know, and especially talking about Planet Zero, because that song, Symptom of Being Human, of course, does go across divides of genre. The message is important, too. But what people get with it on the back end when they find that full album, I mean, that is a piece of art. It is a concept album.
A lot of work.
Yeah, I think of Prince's Gold and Billy Idol's Cyberpunk. And, you know, these
great
moments. Like, you all built something, David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust, you know, all of that, that people, you know, you find the song and then you find the rest. I think that's got to be the hope for an artist. And what they find, like, you're writing something from the future in this record.
Yeah. You know, and if I have to be extremely bold, you know, I'm very lucky that I am in a band with my family and my brothers, you know, myself and Barry and Zach, and especially Eric. We all work off the same brain in a lot of ways, but I got to give a ton of credit for Planet Zero specifically to Eric Bass, who is the bass player in Shinedown. But some of your audience may not know this about Eric. Eric is actually engineered, mixed, recorded, and produced the last two full-length Shinedown records. It started with Attention, Attention being his first full-length that he did. He had done songs before, and we had done productions, and we were writing you know, the production on Cut the Cord, for example, is his production. The production on the song Diamond Eyes, that's his production. But, you know, going back to Attention, Attention, that was the first time that I looked at him and I said, it's your time to do, you know what to do. We know what to do. You should be in the captain's chair for this. And then Attention was received so well that, you know, and then obviously we all dealt with a massive global crisis in the pandemic in 2020, when we ultimately, June 1st of 2020 was like the very first day of the what would become the writing sessions for Planet Zero. And to the point of we were all in the midst of a global pandemic. And Symptom of Being Human was one of the very first songs written for that project, which would become Planet Zero. And I just remember me and Eric looking at each other and saying to ourselves, I remember Eric looking at me going, it feels like we're on Planet Zero. And that really, really stuck with me. But we also understood that people were afraid and scared and angry and frustrated and like the dynamic of like, what is going on? And so Symptom was really a gift in a lot of ways. And you don't necessarily get these types of songs when you're making a record all the time. And a gift is really a song that kind of writes itself. It utilizes you as a vessel so that it can be born. The only songs that I can think of that were ever gifts for us would be 45 on the first record, Second Chance on Madness, and A Symptom of Being Human on Planet Zero, because Symptom was basically and is basically the understanding that we're all a work in progress. You know, this life is not promised to us on a daily, you know, each and every day, you know. Life is a gift and you're not promised tomorrow. But the fact of the matter is also, as human beings, we're all connected to each other and we share the human bond. But you're also allowed to have as many human moments as you need in your lifetime as well. That's why it's a journey. So we felt like the song was really necessary. But again, going back to Eric, you know, him being able to, having a guy that's in the band be that much of a savant, where he plays 11 different instruments and he plays them well. He literally has perfect pitch. He's an insane melody maker. He's a positive reinforcement in the studio also. He doesn't do anything by force, nothing by negative response. Like, he's always giving encouragement. He's always looking at two different hats also. Like, when he puts a producer hat on, it's a different hat than when he's like on stage with his band, you know, so he knows how to separate the two. And the same thing with being a songwriter. He is such a man, the fact that we have him in our lives, we are just all very, very lucky because he is just brilliant at what he does.
It's interesting hearing about that first half of the record, then, you know, getting this gift of Symptom and not knowing, I'm sure at that point, what this record would become. When you realized it, like at what point? Fireworks?
Yeah, here's the thing. My update on I love the fact that just happens randomly. I get like buttons, like fireworks happen in the background. Sometimes there's like dogs and deer running behind me. I just go with it.
I love it.
I'm just into it. Like whatever happens, happens.
I love that. It's like, yeah, fire, let's celebrate it. Why not? But once you realize what this is going to be, and then you get the fun of coming up like with Siren and the voice and everything.
Yeah.
Like at what point did that happen? You're like, oh, we've got something here. And now this is what it can become.
Man, you talk about a roller coaster ride making Planet Zero. That's exactly what it was. But long story short, how Siren became, how she was born and how the conceptual aspect of the interludes happened, where, look, Attention, Attention, we kind of thought was conceptual, and it is kind of a story, but not to the level of like what Planet Zero is. Like, we didn't set out on Planet to make a conceptual piece because we had just kind of done that. It just was born out of necessity for everything that was going on around us. But how it basically happened with her, you know, being the voice and those interludes was we were in kind of the final stages of mixing the record. And again, Eric mixed the album as well. And Eric is one of those types of people where me and him have a very good relationship. I'm usually the one that comes in at a certain point in time and says, okay, now we have to circle the date. Like, everything's got to be ready by this day. And sometimes he gives me a little bit of pushback, but there are also moments where he trusts me to know to come in and say to him, hey, we're ready. You know what I mean? And so what I did was, he was still refining some of the mixes. He was telling me about this idea of this voice that he wanted to narrate the record, and he was having these concepts and what have you. But he hadn't made any of the interludes yet. We didn't even know what the voice sounded like. None of that. So I called our dear friend Ted Jensen at Sterling Sound, who is one of the most prolific mastering engineers in music. He's pretty much probably half of that, what you have on the back of your wall there. Ted Jensen mastered it. So I called Ted on a Thursday and I said, hey, what does your Monday look like next week? And he goes, what do you need it to look like? And I said, we're going to come in on Monday to master the album. Cool. He was like, bring it on. I then walked into the studio where we were at Eric's house and said, hey, how's it going today? And he said, it's going good. I think I'm getting it here. I'm like, I'm glad you're getting it. We're going to master the record on Monday. And he was like, wait, like, I don't have, I was like, well, you got 72 hours. Let's go. And, he create all those interludes that you hear. He did it in 3 days from nothing.
That's insane. That is insane.
He created the voice. He made all the interludes. He did the sequence, like all of it. An absolute genius. I don't care what anybody says. They may not feel the same way about him, but I can say it. Even Ted Jensen was like, this is insane. Like this whole project. But man, we had so many champions on the record, you know, once they heard it, because that was another thing. We kept it really guarded. We didn't do it like a demo process with the record label. And again, you know, credit all goes to our management, you know, Indigoot and Bill McGaffey and everybody involved, you know, with us, but also to Atlantic Records. Look, we've been on Atlantic Records for the better part of 2 decades now. So Julie Greenwald and Craig Kalman have never put a clock on us. They've always allowed us to be who we are. But man, we never really gave demos as the songs were being written and let them hear it. They kind of heard the record when it was done and they were just like, holy crap, you know, which was cool to like see how they all reacted. Again, too, you know, there's some controversial stuff on Planet that we had never really tackled before. And, you know, there were a couple of people that were like, whoa, like this is, you really went there on some of this. And I said, yeah, because it was important. It we needed to, you know, what good is the art if you can't be bold?
And I think I could throw a dart at so many of the songs, but I was looking at that. What you wanted, we're sick and we're tired and our nerves are on fire and we're constantly wired. And that comes, you know, at the end of everything. That is the.
And then the last part of that line, we're sick and we're tired, we're constantly wired. Yeah, it shows.
Yeah, it shows. Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. I love that too. It's just like, yeah, there's that humor that you're talking about, you the levity. But I just love that says so much after the journey that you put us through. You put us through. It sound like that. That we got to go through is what I mean. You know, it's.
And the interesting thing about What You Wanted, when the record first came out, a lot of people gravitated towards that song being the finale of the album, but that just made them want to start it all over again and listen to it in its entirety. Obviously, you're going to have your favorites and the songs that are kind of singles and the ones you gravitate towards. But I thought it was cool that the way the record was presented to the public, it made people want to continue to listen to it in an album form.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that you've done it, mm-hmm. do you think you can push it further? I mean, do you have your Quadrophenia or your American Idiots under your belts?
You know, I don't. It's interesting when you say that, and I know what you mean about that. You know, sometimes people will ask me that about us in regards to, because again, we're known for making these albums, these collections of songs that are connected to each other and sequenced together. What I will tell you is I think the next record is going to be, not that there was limitations on any of the others, but like no handcuffs. Like, and they don't necessarily, the songs don't have to like connect to each other necessarily. I think you're going to hear a lot of styles on the next record. We've already started to write the record. And it's actually been really, really fun, because we're also, our goal is to have, for the first time on the next Shinedown record, to have our friends, like having multiple features on this new Shinedown record where we have other artists on songs with us on the album. So yeah, we got some cool stuff that we're thinking about, and we're reaching out to some people that we've always wanted to work together anyway. So getting an opportunity to kind of do that and going into the project knowing that there's not an agenda necessarily, subject matter wise or even stylistically. Let's just get in there and see what happens. So there's a very freeing element to that, like not having an agenda going in and just let's write the most real, honest, fun material that we can. You know, the subject matter will find its way and it'll find its voice inside of us. And we'll take it from there. But I think that's the best way to make records too, a lot of times. I mean, as you're doing a project, things will occur and things that you didn't think about before, as you're involved in the project and you're really getting legs and you're getting momentum, things start to fire off because you have a direction. But at the end of the day too, some of the coolest parts about being a songwriter is that there's no handbook, there's no instruction manual. You're creating it on the spot.
And that makes sense. You know, even like actors, I mean, every new role is a chance for a new era, you know, a new character. And even the reaction, because I mentioned like Quadrophenia. I mean, they follow that with By Numbers, with number, you know, whatever that is, the Who By Numbers, or Tommy was followed by, you know, Who's Next. Like there is that reaction to say, oh my God, this mountain that we've climbed, let's go back and let's just have some fun. You know, yeah. I think you're in good company there, and you know, some great albums have come from those follow-ups, and that's what you all continue to do. I mean, I don't think you've ever made a bad album yet. So
you said it. Hey, listen, man, I will take it. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, no, I mean that too. I mean that, you know, I don't, you know, you've actually set the bar high for yourselves in the best way, and that's what I mean by that. It's not supposed to be a backhanded compliment. That it sounds like that came out of my mouth.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
at all.
But I trust you guys that you're going to make something great.
You know what, dude? That's the dude. Thank you. That has got to be one of the most. That's one of the nicest statements anybody has ever said. Like the fact that you would say, like, I trust you you're not gonna phone it in, which we are 1,000% not going to. And, you know, a lot of that I have to speak on, I do have to be, because I don't think that sometimes, especially with the way the music industry is right now, people that are following what's going on in the world of record labels, not just in North America, but abroad, you know, with the layoffs and what's happening to the industry and the questioning of what does the future look like and what have you, nobody necessarily has the answer to that, you know. But the fact of the matter is, how we see it is, the experience that we've always had with Atlantic Records, and now that we're working with Atlantic and Elektra and 300, is our responsibility is to give them our 100% best at that moment in time. And for us, I have to say, our experience with Atlantic Records, because again, we've been on Atlantic for 2 decades. That's not a very normal thing in this day and age, especially for a band to have been on a record label that long and continuing to work with one another. Same thing with our management. You know, the story is a bit Shakespearean in a way. But I think that's because there's been a level of honesty from day one where they've never really pressured us to hurry up and give them a record. They've also said, and that's because we've kind of earned that in a lot of ways by what we deliver to them. They know that we're going to push the envelope each and every time. It is definitely their job to put it out into the world, but then it's all up to the fans. And here's the other thing, going back to the beginning of, you know, our conversation with each other, the audience can tell if it's not authentic. You have to remember to be real, and you have to remember that, you know, write the music and write the songs because A, you love doing it, but also because you have something to say that you think is important. And so we have a lot of people around us that give us that confidence that allow us to go in there and be ourselves. But in this industry, you know, it's something that a lot of people right now are trying to figure out, what does the computer like that? The AI is listening to us. I think that the industry is searching for artists that want to be developed. I think also too, I think TikTok is an amazing tool for young people and older people as well that want to be creative and learn how to make music or make art. I think that that's fantastic. Same thing with all those social media platforms and what have you, from Instagram to Facebook to Snapchat to, you know, even X. But also inside of that social media component, you know, being an artist and being a musician, if you want to make a career out of it, you got to be willing to play for 5 people or 500,000, you know, because as a band, that's what, you know, we played for 5, we played for 500,000. Like, it's about building an audience. It's about building a career. And it's about, even when you're 7 records deep, getting ready to do your 8th record like us, you're always developing as an artist. And it's good for people to keep that in mind. There's always another mountain to climb. There's always another gear. There's always another level. The key to success is to never arrive.
Well, I cannot wait to hear what comes next with you guys, what you're writing about, what it sounds like, who these guests are. I like that tease, by the way. That's seriously, Brent, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it today. This has been a real pleasure.
My absolute pleasure, man. Thanks so much. Let's do it again sooner than later, man. It's an honor to be here and talk to you. And again, thank you so much for the support. On behalf of myself and the band and everybody involved, you know, you're giving us an incredible platform, and I really appreciate your time today.
My thanks to Brent. Shinedown, Planet Zero, that is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with so many more interviews just like this one. You'll get a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And don't forget to leave a review, give a rating, give a review, leave a rating. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some favorites and classics from Tom Waits, Jeff Buckley, the Cowboy Junkies, Let's see here. Beck, Paolo Nutini, The Decembrists, Pixies, Everclear, Ramones, Metric, J. Roddy Walston and the Business, Jamie Wyatt, Camera Obscura, Waxahachie, Junior Wells, Taj Mahal, Hooray for the Riff Raff, Sunny Day Real Estate, Father John Misty, Bleachers, Black Keys, Mazzy Star, Hozier, and my interview with Luke Hemmings of 5 Seconds of Summer. Again, that's what you can hear every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Awesome. Appreciate you.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.